I have an announcement to make before I bring the message today. The Lord willing, I'll be speaking tonight and every night this week through Thursday night in Charleston. I'll be speaking at the Randolph Street Baptist Church in downtown Charleston, West Virginia. The church is located on Randolph Street in Charleston. I'll speak tonight at 6:30. The evening service begins at 6:30. And I'll speak Monday through Thursday each evening at the Randolph Street Baptist Church at 7:30. I'd like for our friends in the Charleston, Dunbar, St. Albans, Nitro area to come to these services. Tonight, 6:30 at the Randolph Street Baptist Church in Charleston, and then every night next week through Thursday night, Monday through Thursday. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Romans. I'm going to speak today on the subject faith and unbelief. Faith and unbelief. Our Lord, after he had been crucified and risen from the tomb, before he ascended to the right hand of God, gathered his disciples about him, and he said to them, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not, he that abideth in unbelief shall be damned." Now that passage that you've opened to in the book of Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul goes back and picks up the faith of Abraham. Abraham was called the father of the faithful. He was called the friend of God. He was called the pattern of every believer. Now note what it says about Abraham in Romans 4, beginning with verse 22. It says, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted or imputed to him for righteousness." Now, this was not written for Abraham's sake alone, but it was written for us, to whom this righteousness shall be imputed if we believe on him who raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. This was not just written for Abraham's sake, that he believed God and it was imputed to him for holiness, righteousness, and justification. But this is the message for us. If we believe on him who raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, righteousness shall be imputed to us. Now the Jews ask our Lord in John chapter 6, verse 28, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And the Lord Jesus answered them and said, "This is the work of God. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent," that you believe on Christ. This is the very work of God. If you're asking today, what should I do that I might work the works of God? Well, this is the work of God, that you believe on him, on the Lord Jesus, whom God hath sent. Now, you can wage religious battles where you wish, and you can raise issues anywhere you desire, such as politics and prophecy, or morals and methods, whatever direction you choose to take. But my friends, this is where the battle is fought. The question is belief or unbelief. The question is faith or unbelief. Do you believe on the Son of God? John said in chapter 20, verse 31, at the conclusion of his book, the Gospel of John. He said in verse 31 of John 20, "Now these things are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And in the epistle of John, 1 John 5:13, he said this. This is in the last chapter, the last part of the epistle of John. "These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God, whatever he believes, whatever he does, whatever he gives, whatever he knows, he that believeth not on the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And our Lord said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So I have the issue today. This is the issue. This is that which concerns you the most. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Faith is the foundation grace. And faith brings all the blessings of God in justification, in redemption, in righteousness, and sanctification. And unbelief is the chief sin. Unbelief is the source of all sin. Unbelief shuts a man out of the kingdom of God. This was a summary of Israel's whole problem. When they left Egypt and journeyed across the wilderness and came to Kadesh Barnea and looked out over the promised land and sent the spies down into the land, they came back and said, we can't take it. Two of them said we can, the rest of them said we can't. And they turned around and went back into the wilderness, and there they wandered for 40 years. And out of all of the hundreds of thousands of men who left Egypt over 20 years of age, only two entered the promised land. And God said this in the book of Hebrews, they could not enter in because of unbelief. It wasn't especially the calf which they made. It wasn't especially their rebellion against Moses. It wasn't especially this or that or the other thing, their complaining and murmuring. It was unbelief. That was the foundation sin. That was the chief sin. And they could not enter in because of unbelief. And Paul issues this warning to us. Therefore, take heed, brethren, lest there be found in you an evil heart of unbelief. Now, what are the causes of unbelief? Our Lord said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Israel could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. Unbelief is the chief sin. It's the foundation of all sin. What are the causes of unbelief? Well, I can give you five especially. Five chief causes of unbelief. Now, the first cause of unbelief, the first cause of all sin for that matter, is the fallen, corrupt nature of men in our father Adam. It's a matter of the will being fallen. It's a matter of the will being in bondage. Our Lord said, you will not come to me that you might have life. No man can come to me because of his fallen nature and his fallen will. The preaching of the cross to them who are perishing is foolishness. Men love darkness. This is condemnation. Light has come into this world, but men love darkness. That's because of our fallen nature. We love darkness rather than light. Romans 3 says there's none good. There's none righteous. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. And this is the cause of unbelief chiefly and firstly is our fallen will, our fallen nature, our corrupt nature. In Adam all die. In Adam death and condemnation and sin passed upon all men. And our nature is to love that which is evil and hate that which is good. And that's why the gospel does not appeal to the human heart. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. The natural mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The whole head, and that's the intellect, the whole head is sick, God says. The whole heart is faint, that's the affections. And our fallen wills have affected our affections and our intellect so that we cannot understand. The gospel to us is a mystery because of this evil nature. Now, here's the second cause of unbelief. Another cause of unbelief, not only the fallen will and nature, but satanic influence. Satan's presence and power have been felt since the fall in Eden, in the Garden of Eden. Our Lord said through the Apostle Paul that Satan, through his subtlety and craftiness, deceived our mother Eve and tricked our mother and father, led them into sin, Satan's influence. And even now, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, and that's Satan, the god of this world, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, and hidden from them the gospel, lest the glorious light of the glory of God in the face of Christ should shine unto them. So another reason for unbelief and another cause of unbelief is satanic influence and satanic power. Now, a third cause of unbelief is ignorance. Ignorance. Romans 10, verse 1 through 3, Paul said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish a righteousness of their own." They're ignorant of God's purpose, they're ignorant of God's holiness, and ignorant of God's righteousness, especially the fulfillment of that righteousness in our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Hosea, the Lord says this, the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're ignorant. They have rejected knowledge, and therefore I will reject them. Another cause of unbelief is this. Not only our fallen natures, and not only satanic influence and power exerted upon us, not only ignorance of the Word of God, of the truth of God, of the character of God, of the holiness of God, but another cause of unbelief is pride. What was it that led Adam to take the forbidden fruit? Pride. Satan said, "You'll be like God. You'll be like God." And so this fruit appealed to Adam because it was desired to make one like God. What was it that led Cain to reject the blood sacrifice and bring instead a sacrifice of his own making, of his own merit? It was pride. What was it that have led men through the centuries to reject the free grace of God and turn to their own works? It's pride. And Ebenezer Erskine said this many years ago, "The pride of men will do anything for salvation. The pride of men will do anything for life, except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, except be saved by grace alone." They'll do anything rather than be saved by grace alone. They'll give up their lands and families. They'll put themselves in monasteries. They'll lie on beds of thorns. They'll live on nothing. They'll fast until they're near death. They'll read the creeds and read the Bible and count beads and pray to the Virgin. They'll whip themselves. They'll go on long pilgrimages to the Holy Land. They'll do all this and more. They'll do anything rather than take their places before God as sinners and sue for mercy through the righteousness and blood of the Son of God. Pride leads a man to do anything you tell him to do, except be saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Except look to Christ. I'll give you another cause of unbelief. What are the causes of unbelief? Another is this, and especially in our day, it is the security and the safety which they feel in a false religious profession. Yes, sir, they cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. They talk about making peace with God when no peace has been made. You can't make peace with God without a mediator. You can't make peace with God without a proper substitute. You can't make peace with God except through the great high priest that God has ordained. Nor can you make peace with God without a blood sacrifice that's suitable to God. You can't make peace with God without God's law being honored. You can't make peace with God without God's justice being satisfied. But men in our day find comfort in an experience. They can take you to a time or take you to a place. Or they can take you to a meeting or they can take you to an altar. They can take you to a decision. They find comfort in a false profession of faith. They find comfort in a ceremony, baptism. They find comfort in church membership. Oh, they'll be ready to admit their hearts are empty. They'll be ready to admit that their souls are troubled. They'll be ready to admit that God is mostly unknown, but they rest in those false professions. They rest in the old country church. They rest in their denomination, which they've been in all their lives, to which their fathers and mothers were absolutely devoted. They rest in memorizing a verse of Scripture, shaking a leading preacher's hand, or having some sort of feeling, anything. They rest in anything except Christ. And other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Christ the Lord. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm God, and there's none else. Unbelief. Why is unbelief such a great crime? Why is the wrath of God against unbelief? Why does God say, if you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins? Why does He say, he that believeth not shall be damned? Why does He say, he that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth on him? I'll tell you why. Unbelief is a great crime because it insults the Blessed Trinity. It insults the Blessed Trinity. It despises the great love of the Father, which gave His only begotten Son to be our Redeemer and our sacrifice and our substitute. For God so loved, He gave His only begotten Son. And when He gave Him and when He came, we cried, crucify Him. We'll not have this man reign over us. It makes light of the sufferings and sacrifice of the Son of God. To the unbeliever, the cross is foolishness. To the unbeliever, the blood was wasted time. To the unbeliever, the gospel of Jesus Christ means nothing. It makes void the office of the Holy Spirit, who came to reveal Christ, who came to convict men of sin, who came to bring men to that faith that saves. So unbelief is a great crime because it despises the Blessed Trinity. And then unbelief is a great crime because it slanders the character of God. Listen to 1 John 5:10. He that believeth not God hath made God a liar, because he believeth not the record that God hath given of His only begotten Son. God is a liar. That's what unbelief is saying. I cannot accept God's word. I cannot accept the record that God hath given of Christ. I will not believe it. Therefore, God must be lying. I won't take the place as a liar. I'll give the lie to God. But the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Unbelief, thirdly, would defeat the great purpose of God to honor and exalt His Son. What is the great purpose of God? What is God's great design in redemption? You know what it is? In Philippians 2, it tells us, He hath highly exalted Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth, and every tongue in heaven, earth, and under the earth shall confess that He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Father said, He hath all preeminence. The Father said, He hath committed all things into the hands of the Son. And every tongue is going to confess him, and every knee is going to bow, and every person is going to own that he is Lord. And unbelief says, I won't have it to be so. I just won't have it. I will defeat the purpose of God. I will make void the great design of redemption. God chose a people to be like Christ. I refuse to have a part. God ordained Christ to be their surety and Savior. I refuse to believe on His name in that office. God has satisfied and honored every attribute in Christ. I'd rather have it another way. God hath declared He's the way, the truth, and the life, but unbelief will not have it to be so. We will not have this man to reign over us. We'll take the reign of an earthly priesthood. We'll take the reign of denominational leaders. We'll take the power and reign of local church elders. We'll take the reign of a denomination. We'll take the rulership of anything, even our own wills over our lives. But we will not bow to Christ. Unbelief is a great sin. It's a great crime, and it'll damn your soul. Listen to the text again. Abraham was called the friend of God. God spoke with him face to face as a man does speak with a friend. Abraham is called the father of many nations. Abraham is called the pattern of the children of God. That's what it says in Galatians 3. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. For ye are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's how Abraham was declared righteous and holy and accepted before God. Abraham believed God. And it was counted or imputed to him for holiness, for righteousness, for sanctification. Now, this was not written for Abraham's sake alone. It's still the same way. It hasn't changed. This is the ancient gospel. This is the ancient message. This is the gospel which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is no new gospel. This is the gospel that God preached to Adam, that the virgin son shall bruise or destroy the head of the serpent. This is the gospel God preached to Abraham on Mount Moriah when he put the ram in the place of Isaac. This is the gospel God preached to Moses in Israel in the wilderness when he lifted up the serpent. This is the gospel God taught Israel when he smote the rock in the wilderness. That rock was Christ. This is the gospel God taught Israel in the wilderness when he gave them the tabernacle and the atonement and the sin offering. This is the gospel all the way through the Scriptures. It hasn't changed. It's the same. What more can I tell you? And this gospel is the gospel we go forth preaching. The gospel our Lord gave us and sent us to preach to every creature. And he that believeth, go preach this gospel, good news, glad tidings, declaration of the mercy of God through the great prophet, priest, and king, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Preach this gospel. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now I ask you, have you seen the glory and holiness of God? The gospel will mean nothing to you. This good news will not be good news if you have not seen the holiness and glory of God. When Isaiah in Isaiah 6 saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train filled the temple, and the seraphims about the throne cried, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts. And Isaiah said, I saw the Lord, and I cried, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amidst the people of unclean lips. I'm cut off. I'm undone. For mine eyes have seen the Lord. That's what leads a man to appreciate the gospel, when he sees the immaculate, infinite holiness of God. Second question I ask, have you seen the sinfulness and corruption of your flesh? That's what led David in Psalm 51 to plead for mercy. He said, Lord, my sins are ever before me. My sins are ever before me. Have mercy upon me. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow. It's not sin against men. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. It's not sins against men that bother us. It's our sins against God. We've sinned and come short of His glory. Have you seen the awful corruption of your flesh in the eyes of God, before the immaculate throne of God? And then thirdly, have you seen the perfect life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ? The gospel can be summed up in two words: substitution and satisfaction. All that the law required of us, the holy law of God, the eternal law of God, the law of God which is the very character of God, all that the commandments of God required of us, Christ in the flesh as our substitute on the earth, numbered with the transgressors, fulfilled and obeyed. And all that the justice of God, the wrath of God, the infinite righteousness of God demanded of us, Christ met on that cross and paid it in full. Jesus paid it all the debt I owed. Sin left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. Have you seen the holiness of God? Have you seen the corruption, the pollution, the inability of human flesh? Have you seen Christ in His perfect righteousness, in His perfect life, tempted as we are, yet without sin? Have you seen Christ in His substitutionary death, and the second word, satisfying all that God required? Have you seen it? Well, here's the next question. Have you believed? Have you believed? I'm not asking you to write to me or come to me or contact me. Contact Him. Look to Christ. Believe on Him. Sue for mercy where mercy is given. Cry for faith before the throne of grace where faith is given. God is the Savior. Salvation's of the Lord. Have you believed? Paul summed it up this way. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. I've committed. Have you? I hope many of you will be up this week to the Randolph Street Baptist Church in Charleston, where I'll be speaking tonight at 6:30 and every night this week through Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Now, this message is on a cassette tape, Faith and Unbelief. And next week, I'm going to speak on the subject, Free from Sin. And both of these messages will be on the same tape. Send $2 and we'll mail you both messages on the same cassette. Until next week, may God bless you, everyone.